The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Yo, what's going on with KD?
I know Perk was saying he was, Kendrick Perkins was worried the other day. And when you start hearing people who know things, who are close to people, who are around, starting to get worried about a guy's health who hasn't played, you got to take that seriously. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It's the Max Kellerman Show. What's up, nerds? Coming to you live from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Stop me if you've heard this one before. KD didn't play. And James Harden dropped a triple-double. He's scored at least 40 points in over 28% of his triple-doubles. He always has a triple-double. And one out of four times he has a triple-double? More than that. He's doing it with 40 points. By far the highest in NBA history. Give you an example. David Robinson is second at 14%. James Harden's triple-doubles with 40 points are more than twice as much as a percentage of his triple-doubles than any player in history. Nets win again, tied with the Sixers now. Nets moved to 14-1 in the last 15 games. But let me tell you something. If they don't get KD back, and what's the latest with this now? If they don't get KD back, you got to worry about the Sixers because they're tied with the Sixers because the Sixers lost to the Bucks. The only reason the Sixers lost to the Bucks is not even just that Embiid wasn't playing. That game went into overtime. Sixers would have won. They're playing the second of back-to-back. They don't have their best player, and they're on the second of back-to-back. You see Ben Simmons' defense on Giannis in that game? Simmons, in boxing parlance, it's called man bones. Like, you know, you can have a kid, he's coming up, he's pretty good, he's in, you know, rising contender, but out of the amateurs, he still doesn't have the density of his bones, basically, right? It's like not fully formed. And at a certain point, he has full man strength, right? Simmons is getting there. Simmons used to get pushed around by Giannis. Not anymore. I mean, eventually he did later in the game because he wore down because second of back-to-back. No Embiid back there to erase mistakes. But even with second of back-to-back and Simmons eventually wearing down and having a bad offensive night, and even with turning the ball over, can't score even in the paint, and even with, and obviously you can't shoot, Tobias Harris having an uncharacteristically bad game this year. And even with, I mean, Thybulle can't score at all, but he can play some defense. Even with Seth Curry not shooting well and then having to leave the game with the ankle. Even with all that, they went to overtime with this team. Well, they gave him a 19-point lead. Stop. They went to overtime. Sixers are better than the Bucks. Period. Now, the Bucks just acquired P.J. Tucker. That makes them tougher, too. But if Embiid comes back and KD doesn't, I don't know if the Sixers lose to the Nets. No, I think the Nets beat the Sixers. Sorry, I think the Sixers beat the Nets if Embiid is healthy and KD is not. Now, it also points out, if the Nets get everyone back, oh, it's over. You think about that. I'm like, I think without one of the best players ever, probably the Sixers beat the Nets. And that's almost like a hot take. Really? But then you add one of the best players ever? But is he still? I was on First Take last year. We were on the road in 2019. Not 2020, obviously. We were on the road at Golden State and in Oakland, in the Bay Area. And we were doing a live show, and I was arguing KD cannot play in these finals because he clearly had an Achilles injury. And the team doctor, no, it's not an Achilles, it's a calf. Max, you don't know, you're not a doctor. What, do I need to be a doctor to know what an Achilles injury looks like? You never watch sports? Well, oh, okay, it's just the calf. Well, it's the part of the calf that's attached to the Achilles. In fact, it's the part of the calf called the Achilles. Is the Achilles part of a calf? The point is the calf bone's connected to the Achilles bone, obviously. However that song goes. Isn't that a lyric? And sure enough, just like that, I'm snapping into the microphone like this, like this. Like this, it happened. KD out, catastrophic injury. Now, I didn't think KD would get back to playing on the level he's played so far this year because very few people have ever come back from an Achilles as the same level athlete. And it looked like maybe KD did. But did he? Is he still KD? Is he coming back and playing this season? What's going on? Boy, this is getting serious. Meantime, you know what? I've been arguing with Kendrick Perkins so much, both on this show, on the Max Kellerman show, on ESPN Radio, and ESPN Plus, also on First Take. But listen to Perkins, listen to Kendrick Perkins, on this very show from yesterday, on the 76ers and the Nets.
I'm going to tell you this. The Philadelphia 76ers, they are not playing any games, okay? They are serious over there. They play agenda-free basketball. Defensively, they are locked in. And they have multiple guys that could get the job done. Tobias Harris is playing phenomenal. Seth Curry is balling. Dwight Howard, the backup center, is coming in, and he's playing outside his mind right now, looking like a young Orlando Dwight Howard. And then you have Shake Milton off the bench. I'm telling you, this Philly team, they are my pick to coming out of the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, because you think that something's wrong with KD. Let's be honest about this. Yes, the Sixers are excellent. Defensively, they are a load, and they got guys who can shoot the three ball, and that includes Embiid, by the way, when he gets back. But, Perk, you ain't taking no Sixers over the Nets if KD is healthy. What is going on? Is this like the least reported and discussed story, speculated upon story in sports right now? Is there anything bigger or more important in sports right now on the field of play in terms of how teams function than the fact that quiet is kept, apparently, KD ain't playing? That there may be something really wrong here? Also, notice how all the injuries are with the leg. It's a hamstring, a calf, an Achilles. I am officially worried. I always thought this was going to be the time where KD could prove his greatness in a way he hasn't yet. You join a 73-win team. If you're an MVP-caliber player, you win a couple of finals MVPs, so what? The defense has to worry about Steph and Clay and everybody else. Yes, and you're KD, you should win finals MVP. And by the way, I thought LeBron was definitely better in the first matchup. Should have won MVP even on a losing team. And in the second matchup, it was close. Point is, that doesn't prove great. Like, the championship's supposed to prove, look, I can lead a team to a championship. He reverse engineered it. He went to one of the best teams ever, and they barely have to give up anything in order to fit him in there. That doesn't prove your greatness, not in the way championships are supposed to. We already knew KD's a great player in terms of, you know, just his ability. No, this was his chance in Brooklyn. Well, he has Harden and Kyrie. Yeah, yeah, but LeBron had, you know, Wade and Bosh and Kyrie and Kevin Love. And even if that's not quite Harden and Kyrie, the point was he didn't join a ready-made situation. KD put together a team that he was going to lead to a chip. Is he going to play again this season? Is he ever going to be KD again? Man, I hate this kind of thing. Because you think with KD, oh, you have years left to watch him. But is he going to be some diminished version of himself? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Meantime, Bucks Sixers. Giannis tweeted a photo of his sit-down celebration along with the caption, "Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show." Ooh, shots fired. Heard Dwight Howard after the game wasn't happy. By the way, can I pause for a second to mention Dwight Howard's career renaissance? Like, everyone likes to pay attention to Carmelo Anthony's. I said a couple years ago, Carmelo should go play in China because I thought he was cooked, done as an NBA player. And he had multiple chances and he had the right attitude and he just wasn't producing. You know, the league had changed so much. He's not a catch and shoot three type player. He's not a 3-and-D type player. What did he do? He's not a great passer, so this game wasn't for him anymore, I thought, given his diminished athletic ability. Go play in China. Carmelo is a valuable contributor on a good NBA team. I was wrong. He proved me wrong. I love when that happens. Tom Brady proves me wrong. Carmelo Anthony, great. But no one's talking about Dwight Howard. Not like that. Dwight Howard's having a total career renaissance. He's a very valuable player. He was valuable with the Lakers on a championship team last year. He's a valuable piece on this Sixers team that has championship aspirations. Anyway, he was talking about Giannis. He wanted to give him, what do you call? He wanted to, what's the wrestling move he was talking about? Raj, pipe in, chime in.
The stunner. Wasn't it the stunner?
Right, stunner. Want to give him a stone stunner, stunner, what? I don't know what he's talking about. I haven't followed wrestling really since Hulk Hogan. Listen, Giannis can celebrate all he wants, and his team won. They were lucky to win. Had the Sixers not been second of back-to-back, the Sixers surely would have won that game, definitely. And had they had Embiid, they of course they win that game. I don't know what Giannis is celebrating, but okay, he did. But I'm not, like, I was arguing about this with Stephen A. and Kendrick Perkins. They're like, hey, they got P.J. Tucker now. Giannis has everything he needs. I keep bringing up the point. Great centers in the history of the game have only ever won without another great player on their team, on their level. Like a great big man, like Kareem, Oscar Robertson, Magic Johnson. One with Oscar, five with Magic, zero without them. Zero. He played almost 20 years. Zero championships without those two guys. Shaquille O'Neal, one with Wade, three with Kobe, all in their primes, by the way. Zero without them. None. Shaq. None. And he played with a prime Penny, and Penny was great. Not good enough. I make this point every day. You know when? Oh, what about Hakeem? Yup, Hakeem did it in a league where Jordan had retired. So there was no team where you had an MVP with another MVP playing on the same team. Another, like, great player playing on the same team. Jordan Pippen. But this is particularly, especially true for bigs because they can't get their own shots the way wings and guards can get their own shots. So Giannis has Drew Holiday and now PJ Tucker and Chris Middleton and a lot of good players. And if the Nets weren't in the same conference, you should say, hey, no excuses, get by the Sixers at least. That's your challenge. But if KD is playing for the Nets and Giannis doesn't have another real crime partner, they got no shot. Weiss Carzi, Giants Daily, joins me on the Goodyear Hotline right now. Weiss, is Giants Daily, first of all,
how's it going?
Good to have you. Is did I say your name right, Weiss Carzi?
You did, yeah.
Okay. And are you Giants Daily? Or is all of that just you?
It is me, yeah.
Excellent job, Weiss Carzi.
It's a good thing or a bad thing.
Listen, I think you do outstanding work on Twitter. I love it. As a Giants fan, I'm like, ooh, got Gettleman again. Look, let's get right into it. Is Gettleman blowing this thing? Like, whatever chance the Giants have, you brought up players that they could have signed cheaper instead of franchising and then signing for more. You've brought up instances where they haven't gotten draft compensation because they of stupid trades they've made. I'm incensed by the fact that they cut Zeitler. He's now with another team. That was one, like, so what'd you trade Odell for if now you're short one big playmaker on offense? What's your assessment of Dave Gettleman as GM?
Well, to me, it all starts in 2018 when he came in and the assessment he made of the roster. I mean, if you think about it, at the time, the Giants were 3-13. They had just fired Jerry Reese. They had fired Ben McAdoo. He came in, and the way he evaluated the roster was, this roster can compete right away. And instead of making the proper move, starting the rebuild then, he sort of doubled down on the same mistakes that cost Jerry Reese's job. And that's why the Giants are still playing catch up in 2021. I mean, you can go back to the decision to draft Saquon Barkley with the number two pick. Saquon's a great player. Don't get it wrong. But we're now in year four, and the Giants are not competing for the playoffs. They're still in a rebuild mode. So you have to wonder, when are the Giants going to be competing with Saquon Barkley, given the fact that we know the shelf life of a running back, it's a replaceable position, it's not valued as much. So they're still playing catch-up from 2018. And then throughout that, the last 4 years, some of the decisions, players they let go. Max, let me ask you a question. The Giants traded Jason Pierre-Paul in 2018. Since then, have they replaced a player? Have they found a pass rusher as good as Jason Pierre-Paul?
No, the last several regimes have been awful. Like, Jerry Reese inherited a team that was winning, and he made a few nice moves early in his tenure as GM in the draft and such. But since then, he was awful. Gettleman's been awful. No, they have not. They don't have a premier pass rusher like that. Beyond that, though, it's, to me, what's emblematic of the Giants' problems and where I really want to see them address it fully is the offensive line, right? Like, the offensive line that Eli had when they won in 07 and 11, even though David Deal was moved from guard to tackle, and oh, really? It's not a premier left tackle, but he was at least a B-plus left tackle. And they had a very good line with some talent. They played together well, and it was one of the better lines in the NFL. Since then, their offensive line has been terrible. And talking to Weiss Carzi of Giants Daily, you could follow him on Twitter. He's great, Giants Daily. Got about 50,000 followers and has great Giants stuff on the Goodyear Hotline, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, and ESPN Plus. And anyway, Weiss, the offensive line, they've devoted resources to it. First-round picks, second-round picks, third-round picks. I want your assessment of where the Giants are on the O-line, because you can talk Saquon Barkley. Did he reach for Daniel Jones? Daniel Jones didn't develop in year two. That's the development year. Who knows? Are they a Galladay away or an outside threat away in terms of their offense? What about the pass rush? Who knows? What I need to know more than anything, where we can start square one, do they have an offensive line?
The answer to that is it's uncertain. They're going to have a lot of young pieces on their offensive line. Andrew Thomas, who they took with the number four pick last year, who sort of was up and down, but that's understandable for a rookie tackle. They take a couple years to come on. He's going to be your left tackle. You're going to have Will Hernandez, who they drafted in 2018.
Who I liked in college. Left guard. In the second round, I thought that was actually value, to tell you the truth. Yeah.
Right. But his development has not come on the way the Giants had hoped. He was pretty much non-existent last year. I mean, he wasn't a starter. And then at center, you got Nick Gates, who I really like. I think this is going to be a very valuable piece on the Giants' offensive line, not only because he's their center, but he can play guard, he can play tackle. He's very versatile. The Giants, that's a real valuable piece that Dave Gettleman found. And then at right guard, you're going with a fourth or fifth round pick in Shea Lemieux that they drafted last year. They like him. We'll see. And then the right tackle spot, Matt Peart, their third round pick from last year. So this is a very young offensive line. But Max, I want to, mention something. You talk about investment in the offensive line. Yes, last year we saw investments in their offensive line, draft a tackle in the first round, and then Dave Gettleman. But in the first 2 years, they only drafted two offensive linemen, and they had out of like 13 or 14 picks that they had, it was Will Hernandez in the second round. And then in the seventh round, they took George Asafu-Adaje from Kentucky. So there hasn't been real investments in the offensive line by Dave Gettleman up until last year.
Yeah, I thought he believed in the hog mollies.
Young guys.
What happened to the hog mollies? Remember the introductory press conference with that terrible Boston accent?
No, exactly.
And the hog mollies? Where are they?
Yeah. Exactly. Jerry Reese invested. He just didn't get the results. Eric Flowers, Justin Pugh, Weston Richburg, they all moved on.
But this is what I want. Look, let's stop right there.
Complete total bust.
Look, Weiss Carzi, Giants Daily here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Let's stop right there. Because drafting is part of it. Development is the other part. Like, Flowers is okay off the Giants. He hasn't justified being picked, what was he, ninth overall? He hasn't justified that. And I thought, what do I know? I thought he was talented, the most talented guy. Oh, yeah, we got Flowers. But he's a starting offensive lineman in the NFL. He was not that for the Giants. How much of this is the Giants failing to develop players?
Well, it's a failure to develop, and then it's also a failure to keep your talent. Like, Weston Richburg was a good center for San Francisco, and he was a good center here too, but the Giants didn't bring him back. Now, the Giants have had a lot of turnover with coaching. I mean, you go from Tom Coughlin to Ben McAdoo to Pat Shermer to now Joe Judge. You're talking, four head coaches in 6 years, so it's tough when you're having that much turnover on your coaching staff to really develop guys, because a system goes out, a new system comes in, it's a new philosophy, guys, coaches bring in guys that fit, their system. So it's tough to develop when you have so much turnover. But the offensive line, look, going into this year, they moved on from Zeitler. It's tough. His cap hit was high, but the reduced salary cap, the Leonard Williams situation and how they had to franchise him, they had to move on from Kevin Zeitler. He's a good guard. He was probably, if not their best, their at least their second best offensive lineman last year. They move on from him. They're going to rely on another young piece. We'll see if they try to go bargain shopping for another offensive lineman in free agency. But it's tough right now because you don't have, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty. Yes, fans will be happy because they're going younger on the offensive line, but it's all uncertain at this point. We don't know how this line is going to be because there hasn't been a lot of experience with what they have now.
I know Andrew Whitworth was available in free agency a couple years ago. Reese thought he was too old.
That was a big miss.
Oh, for crying out loud. All right, we got to get into Galladay too, but I've run out of time. I've run out of time because offensive line talk is always a ratings juggernaut. In national media, and for some reason I got bogged down in that. But that's what's on my mind. Weiss Carzi of Giants Daily, I appreciate you coming on. Excellent work. You can follow him on Twitter, Giants Daily. Really good stuff. Join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Goodyear celebrating March deal days with month-long service and savings. Visit GoodyearAutoservice.com for offers. Will Deshaun Watson's legal issues stop teams from trading for him? That is the question. We're going to get into it coming up. The tournament's finally here. The brackets have been set and teams are ready to hit the court. And DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy, is celebrating with their largest free college basketball survival pool ever. How large? $1 million in total prizes up for grabs. And if that's not enough, when you enter the free DraftKings $1 million survival pool, did I say survival? Survivor pool, you could get a shot at winning $10,000 for every upset through the first two rounds of the tournament. It's easy to play. Just pick one team per day. If they win, you survive and advance to the next round. Last person standing is the winner. Remember, you can only pick a team once for the entire tournament, so choose wisely. DraftKings is a safe and secure app. You can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Get in on all this week's action. Not get on in. That would be ridiculous, Raj. Get in on all this week's action. Download the DraftKings app now. Enter code MAX during sign-up and enter the free $1 million survivor pool. Again, that's code MAX to enter into DraftKings' free $1 million survivor pool. Eligibility restrictions and terms and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Who you got coming out of the East? Get to your calls in a second. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. By East, I mean NBA. We're not talking about the NFC or AFC East. The answer to that, by the way, is Washington as of right now and Buffalo. Now, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Okay, and now a hard turn to a very serious topic. A third civil lawsuit filed against Deshaun Watson accuses the Houston Texans quarterback of sexually assaulting a massage therapist by allegedly forcing her. I don't know. This is a family show, Raj. I don't know if I even want to report on some of these details. I suppose so.
Yeah, no, we're just got the facts down.
Allegedly
there,
forcing her to have oral sex with him in December 2020. The lawsuit was filed by Houston attorney Tony Busby on Wednesday night and appeared on the Harris County District Clerk's website Thursday morning. Now, let me just say, before I go on, that this is a difficult subject because there is a presumption of innocence, and someone who otherwise has a spotless record, as far as I know, first of all, his reputation on the field is immaculate, and off the field until now has been known as someone of high character. My reputation, at least. And he's being accused of something very serious. Now, there's a presumption of innocence, but we also have to weigh with that the fact that I think culturally now we're all more sensitive. We're more sensitive as a culture to the fact that oftentimes accusers are not believed and vilified. And oftentimes the accusers actually, in fact, turned out to be victims. And so there's an injustice there. Now, it's true, athletes, high-profile athletes especially, would largely publicize deals for $160 million, right, as Deshaun Watson fits into that category, can be targets. And Deshaun came out with a statement denying it, saying he wants to clear his name. And also, women who have come into contact with powerful men are oftentimes not believed and don't always have a lot of resources in order to pursue justice. So it's a difficult subject to discuss, particularly on a sports show. And yet this is the situation. Deshaun says he wants to clear his name, that he was approached by the attorney representing now three different women who have come forward making accusations in civil suits. And according to Deshaun, he said that he was approached a baseless six-figure settlement demand. That was what he was approached with and turned it down. Now, on the one hand, I think people, it's human nature. You think, well, wait a minute. If he's turning that down, if he could have gotten rid of this thing for six figures when he has many multiples of seven figures, why would he risk this damage to his reputation unless, in fact, he believes he's innocent or is innocent, right? And on the other hand, you might think, well, because he's susceptible to those kind of allegations. So rather than speculate, what I think is the responsible thing to do is to wait until the facts come out. Wait until the facts come out, and then we'll reach conclusions. But this is serious, and it's not good for anyone involved. John McClain, Houston Chronicle, on Freddie and Fitzsimmons, was talking about this topic.
Bad. Bad timing for everybody all around. Bad for the Texans when they want to maximize what they can get from Watson. I've been saying they should pit the Jets and the Dolphins second, third in the first round against each other, AFC East rivals, and get the maximum deal. You know, there's stories about Carolina mm-hmm. willing to sacrifice the farm to get him. But the problem with the Panthers, they have the eighth overall pick, and there's no guarantee of getting a franchise quarterback that general manager Nick Caserio likes.
Think about Deshaun Watson, and you have to be careful with this stuff. Like, you feel like you know someone because you see them publicly. And in my case, I've met him a couple times and talked to him, had him on a couple different shows. And you hear about him, read about him, listen to him talk, know about some of the stuff he does, and you think, boy, this is an upstanding person. This is someone that's easy to like. In fact, I even made the comment a couple weeks ago when he was having problems with the Texans. Hey, if you're having problems with Deshaun Watson, no one's looking at him. No one's looking at Deshaun. They're looking at you. What's your problem? He has this immaculate reputation. But even if that is the case, and just because you don't want to believe something bad about someone you otherwise like or believe you do based on what you know about them, that in and of itself does not prove anything. And I think there is a tendency culturally, and there's even a documentary series on HBO right now about a figure in popular culture who, you know, terrible accusations were made against him, and there was this kind of reflexive response of, no, it couldn't be. Because you don't want to believe that about somebody. Especially someone you feel like you know and like. And yet, too often, we've seen throughout history that, in fact, that wasn't the right conclusion to draw. That simply because you feel like you know them and like them, therefore they couldn't have done something bad. Again, on the other hand, these are accusations, and there's a presumption of innocence. And so the facts will come out, and I reserve judgment until then. Former Panther wide receiver Steve Smith said there's a type of player, Dave Gettleman, Giants GM, and owner of a horrific Boston accent, a type of player that he doesn't want. We're going to get into it. The college basketball season has reached tournament time, and that means the Wendy's Wooden Watch has announced the the final ballot. Go to ESPN.com and search Wooden Watch for the list of the Wooden Award late season top 15 nominees. The first four tips off tonight. All four games are tonight. Don't miss ESPN college basketball analyst Seth Greenberg with me here 3:10 p.m. today. That's coming up in, let me see, right now it's 2:38 by my calculations. You carry the one and you get to 32 minutes. Anyway, he's going to help you fill out your brackets. The John R. Wooden Award is presented by Wendy's.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Dude, the Mavs did last night. Going to get into that in a few. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Think I forgot that they were my sleeper pick in the playoffs this year? You think I've moved off that because they've looked terrible for a lot of this year? Sometimes you'd be right, but maybe not this time. Did you miss any of the Max Kellerman Show today? Oh, it was fantastic. If you're really into dissecting my favorite football team, who's been a perennially awful team for a decade now, if you really want to get into dissecting their offensive line, then this is the show for you. You should download it and listen to it. I think so. This podcast is tremendous. You want to know about, who do you want to know about? Why, we talked about such luminaries around the NFL as Pert and Will Hernandez and Thomas and a lot of other faceless, interchangeable offensive linemen.
And they'll also get to hear if you think Kevin Durant's going to be back from the big three, or is it just a dynamic duel now for the Nets?
That's true. I did talk about that, didn't I? I did. Yes, I did talk about some exciting stuff today.
All right.
I think you should download it mainly because it leads to greater commercial success for me. And that is very important to me. You can always find both hours of the show posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Former wide receiver and NFL Network analyst, and one of the toughest dudes pound for pound when he played in the NFL, and he was a wideout, Steve Smith on Dave Gettleman. Listen to this quote. One thing about Steve Smith, he will tell you what is on his mind. He is not scared. Raj is not scurred. No way you want to pronounce it. Is he that? Quote, they don't want an alpha. This is former wideout Steve Smith, the good one, the great one, Carolina Panthers Steve Smith, talking about Giants GM Dave Gettleman. Quote, they don't want an alpha. What they want are robots who aren't going to make a stink, who are going to fall in place, which will end up stunting the growth of your franchise quarterback because you either want a robot or a 6'2", 215 or pound or above wide receiver. You don't want a playmaker. You want cheap. You want people that aren't going to make a stink in the locker room. Now, let me just say this. I agree with that. But let me just say, you have to consider who it's coming from. Steve Smith would make a stink. And Steve Smith was not 6'2", 215 pounds. And he wasn't cheap. So when Steve Smith looks at the Giants, he's like, they wouldn't want me. But Steve Smith was a winning player. He was a great player. And he's the kind of guy you want on your team. But he could see Giants wouldn't want him. And I understand the Giants have a certain way of doing things. They're almost reflexively conservative. And I don't mind a conservative organization. I really don't. Like, Parcells won Super Bowls as the league was changing, but he refused to change, right? What was the line he said about Bill Walsh? I mean, Michael Lewis had it in the Blind Side, I think, if I'm remembering right. That it was in the Blind Side, not that Parcells said this. He said, I don't need to prove what I do works. We know what I do works. That dude, Bill Walsh, got to prove what he does works. Now, Bill Walsh proved it. He was even better than Parcells. He won more. But Parcells wasn't wrong in the sense that what he did worked. Won two Super Bowls with the Giants. They were a perennial powerhouse. But being conservative and looking backward rather than forward, relying on what has worked in the past rather than what you being, you know, speculative, like what might work. I'm okay with that as long as it's not reflexively conservative, meaning not that this makes sense or that this is working, but it feels good because it's what you're familiar with. If that's the only reason you're doing it, I have a problem. And that's the sense I get from the Giants nowadays. It's not just that they're a conservative franchise. They're reflexively conservative, meaning their first instinct is to go back to what they know because it feels good to them, not because it works. Gettleman, does it work? What have you done? Look at the moves. Have the Giants done anything that really brought them closer to challenging for a championship? Are they even moving toward a playoff berth? I mean, they have a lot of draft capital every year. They draft high up in the draft, usually. Doesn't have to be the number one overall pick. Steve Smith's not wrong. I don't think Gettleman would want him on this team if he were in his prime, and that would be a mistake. Jason in West Virginia on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yes, Max, I have 2 points for you. Mm-hmm. One, I listened to KJZ this morning, and he's talking about the next face of the league in the NBA, mm-hmm. and they went from succession of Bird and Magic to Jordan to Kobe. And they're saying, like, LaMelo and Zion. They're mm-hmm. not bringing in Luka, and I think Luka's the man.
Well, I would say Zion, yes, and Luka. The real question is Luka's ceiling capped in a way because of his lack of explosive athletic ability? In other words, he's already most of what he's ever going to be, versus Zion, who's just scratching the surface but is so athletic, he's already really good. Or is Luka just so good at so many things, in fact, his upside is higher? I would say Luka will absolutely be one of the faces of the NBA. What's the other one?
The Dallas Mavericks, with Porzingis starting to turn it on, yep. Now, it seems like the last couple of stretches, just the Clippers especially. What are we going to do on the trade deadline?
That's a good question. The Mavericks, like, if the Mavericks are healthy, they have most of what they need. You know, if they're healthy, could you use another creator in the backcourt off the bench? Yeah. Go get his own shot, shoot it a pretty good, you know, who am I thinking of? Oh, come on, Max. Raj. The sixth man of the year every year.
Oh, Williams.
Lou Williams. Who couldn't lose a Lou Williams? There's a team I picked to challenge the Lakers in the West. They finally here.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.